I'm Magdalena Kadula, and you're listening to Radio Prague International. Kristina and Marek Milde are a Czech artist duo based in Brooklyn. Through installation, sculpture, photography, and collage, they explore how urban life affects our relationship to nature and the objects around us, revealing both the tension and connection between the two. Their work has been featured in institutions including Kunsthalle Prague, MoMA, and the Queens Museum in New York. In our interview, we talk about home, identity, and the environments that influence how we live. Could you tell us a little bit about your journey that brought you from Czech Republic all the way to Brooklyn and what that was like 22 years ago?
Well, our journey actually started earlier than that because before we came to New York, we already spent 7 years in Germany and Switzerland. But we always felt like we really need this American experience. We visited several times and we felt in love with the city and also with the nature.
Well, you know, our first out-of-the-home experience was in Switzerland, where we had like a happy life. Spent almost 7 years between Switzerland and Germany. And this German environment is very organized culture and everything works. Everything is functional and beautiful. However, you know, it may at some point also feels like a little stale, little slow and limited. And of course, you know, in your early 20s, you wanna see what the world is in for real. And you know, our visits to New York, we always felt the energy, very excited with the bounty of cultures and also what is happening in the cultural sphere here. It was incredible. Also, like, you know, we were artists before already, but had always separate art practices. And living in New York somehow brought our partnership of being together into creative one. Since 2011, we work together as a duo. We develop all our projects together, and that brought a big change into way we see art or we do art.
Can you just touch on how New York has shaped you all as artists?
We were already mentioning, the New York is such a diverse place with a lot of energy. And we were also kind of like strangers in a new land. And what we felt was kind of important for us to look for roots and connections. And not only at home, but also connecting back to nature, because that's how we kind of grew up. We both spend a lot of time in the nature with our family, and we keep doing it with our Adam. And so we keep looking for ways how to connect these places, which looks very divided, but in a sense they are very much connected and they cannot live without each other. So many of our projects actually use like objects from which are man-made. Like for example, in our recent show at the Kunsthalle Praha at 2025, we had a real New York yellow taxi cab, which we planted with Czech American forest. And so we really love to incorporate the nature and man-made objects together to kind of create a collision of ideas that would kind of spark new perceptions.
How would you say that you guys integrate your Czech identity into this new New York identity that you have created for yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can never deny where you are coming from, right? So, you know, despite living here for decades, we'll be always Czechs. And I think, like, Brooklyn specifically let you do it. You can be yourself. Also, like, we are both Czechs coming from Prague, so we sort of, like, maintain our Czech bubble at home. However, there are so many bubbles around us, and there are hundreds of other, you know, nations in our neighborhood that we have like as our neighbors. So I think like I never really thought the national origin would be a theme in my work specifically, like the Czechness, but it's this is the perspective of my old home, of the identity I grew up with. After a while, once you stop being tourist here, you may feel a little displaced. And I was actually surprised, me feeling homesick after like living 7 other years in a different country. I never expected that would happen to me in New York, but it, you know, it happened at some point, and I realized the connection to the city or to the community, that's important, but I also needed the connection to wider context. And to me, the finding the roots or the connection here in the new world was to finding to nature and to environment. And as soon as I discovered there is like beautiful countryside, beautiful nature, very, very strong nature, much stronger than we have in Europe, I started to feel at home. And one of this was like fascination with the bounty and diversity of species here. However, there was also the other aspect. I started to find specific plants or species which I had at home, and that, interestingly, they made me feel at home. So some of our projects reflect exactly on that. So, you know, during the colonial era, there were so many plants coming with European to the new world. They basically became naturalized, and they became native after a while, after hundreds of years. And then if you encounter them here as a European, they sort of recall something from like a comfort coming from the past.
So, for example, like yarrow, thyme, or St. John's wort are all plants which were brought here.
So we did this project called Plantarium, and it's basically a garden. It's a sculpture which is made out of Corten steel, large diameter pipes. And this sculpture was planted with European herbs and plants and weeds, which grow all over America, but were originally brought from Europe. Interestingly, you know, they can be seen as invasive species, but you know, on the other hand, they are fully naturalized, and interestingly, native Indians, they didn't see them necessarily as negative, but they immediately started them for like a medicinal use or other like practical purposes, integrated them. So that's one type of work we do, these gardens, which basically frame nature, give you a perspective on nature. And we did several of these projects, which are installations or sculpture.
Can you give us an example of a few other projects you guys have been lucky enough to do here in New York?
We had another project at the Westport Art Center, which we called Lost and Found Gardens of Manhattan. And that was a project where we, over the years, gathered household plants, which many of them were tropical plants, and created out of it a garden which was framed by a flying carpet. And we planted the plants inside of the carpet, again, kind of like reframing the home as a tropical forest, and kind of like pointing out how the plants, which we call house plants, are originally from rainforest or tropical regions, where, you know, some of them are already almost extinct there, but they are thriving in our homes.
Another project we did in public space here in Brooklyn, that's right, close to Brooklyn Bridge, it's called A La Carte, playing with the words a cart. So there were shopping carts, but there was also like a menu, a la carte, and was like a community project where we invited like a local group of people from Brooklyn
mostly,
Heights,
yeah,
down below
people,
that
yeah,
area,
yeah.
Who were interested in gardening but had like zero experience and didn't have any opportunity. And we developed this installation in the middle of the street. It was a structure made out of shopping carts from supermarket, and they were filled with soil, and people could grow plants in them, and they were vegetable plants. And the idea was to get people to grow ingredients for their favorite dish they had. We did this for a season. It was in the middle of the crowded street, so we thought like this project would be a failure because there was so much traffic, and it was not like a nice relaxing place. It was a very busy place. The people kept coming, and the plants actually brought some veggies and fruits, and on the end we had like a nice dinner.
And also part of it, we had a display in the Smackmillan Gallery, which is not far from there, And we had a kind of like a farm to table installation where really people could sit, and we had like a blackboard with the menus. But instead of prices of for the dishes, we had number of days it will take us to grow it. So the longest was a ratatouille, because the eggplant takes like 108 days to grow. So that was the longest.
Yeah, certain dishes were like 60 days away, certain dishes were like, you know,
75
something. So yeah, so it was all about like recalling, you know, the people's sense, what it takes to bring something on the table, and
and the time it takes to grow it.
And then what was really good, that we didn't have any vandalism, and you know, people didn't really destroy it, because even it was like very exposed in very public space.
No, the only thing what was happening was there was a restaurant guy who was also part of the project, and I've noticed that they always, when they were serving mojitos, they were like taking some mint from the from the cart.
That's so funny. Such cool projects. You guys work together. I'm just wondering what that process is like. How do you balance your own individual voices versus the shared vision? And does that ever clash?
Yeah, I think what's the advantage of working together, that both of us have different skills. And Mark is really great at building anything. He has a great visions and ideas. And I'm more kind of like the day-to-day kind of like pulling it through. But what's great, that we, when we, one of us has an idea, we kind of bouncing it off with each other, and if it kind of passes our critical discussion, then the project already has a certain quality. So that kind of helps us to keep interesting projects coming up out of our art practice, because we are already censoring a lot. And then of course, you know, there are clashes and things, but we both are very passionate about what we do, and that always help us come to a conclusion and bring things to light.
Yeah, you have two pairs of eyes, really.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the arts, like as a creator, you may sometimes not have a problem what to do, but what not to do, what to not to show. So that dialogue we have together, I think it's really very helpful. And as an individual, as an ego, as everyone artist has, of course, you know, you have to step back sometimes. We didn't work together always, right? We developed this, and we were involved in each other's art practice even before we had official collaborations. We're always like helping the others.
I think also what was important, that once we started to work together, we started to work more on larger scale installations. So the one we mentioned in 2011 was a living room which we created in the Queen's Library, and it was all created from found objects. So we started with like three empty walls and objects which we kind of found on the streets. And it was the process, the idea for that came from the process how we furnished our first student's apartment. New York is such a vibrant city and very dynamic, so people have to move and throw things out. So you find things in on the streets which you wouldn't find in Prague, because people just wouldn't get rid of
it. Nice furniture, very high quality, in garbage. So if you want to, you can basically furnish our entire apartment with design furniture. If we furnished our apartment very nicely, it's a very, very good example of how you repurpose things, and you can question all this consumerism, how things are produced and immediately disappear. And you know what I remember from my childhood, that there was like a chair was like inherited for generations, and every piece of a furniture had a history. It was connected to some person, to somebody. But today, like this consumer goods, they are produced and they disappear quickly. They don't even come close to accumulating this type of story and narrative. So we started to see the narratives or stories in common objects. But the best was, it was part of the college, so it was like a functional lounge, an environment visitors of the building and students could use. And they spent some time, but once they were there, they realized this is an art installation, and they started to come into the story and realize, yes, you know, it's all about this like cycle of things, and what do we do about it?
What is the process from start to finish? Can you just touch a little bit more on that?
So I think like one of these things, as Christina mentioned, which is I think like a, also almost like a like landmark of our art practice, it's like first of all like collecting resources or ideas, objects, the materials for the projects, and it's usually connected to a theme we are interested in. And the initial phase, we usually don't know where does it go. We just like finding books. Like New York City, you can walk on the street, but you will find like books which somebody is sorry to throw into the garbage. So they put them neatly on a doorstep, and then people would make a little label, oh, free books, please take, or something. So we started to collect these books, and collected like books for years on the streets in New York City, and had like a big collection which we kept, and was sort of like started to think about this as an archive, a library of sorts. Maybe that's the best way to present it. And then we started to build a bookcase, which was like a sculpture object, which is like a growing sculpture where each collections, like it's usually a couple of books. So you rarely find like one book. I found like a couple of single books, but usually like a Bible, but usually it's a collection. And then once you see the stories, it sort of gives you sort of like a hypothetical character of a person who throw them out. You can ask about who is it? Is it your neighbors? What was on his mind? Or what is the state of his mind or stage of his life? Why he needs to get rid of this? And then we had like, you know, dozens of these collections, and suddenly it became like a collection of portraits of people. So this sculpture, the bookcase, was basically like a collection of characters of or portraits of people which came together in the sculpture. And the final result was a library of books, where each section was kept in the same order we found it on the street. And we developed like a library identification system, as like a regular library would be. And for each of these sections, we invented fictional names, which would like define the theme of the sections.
So there was like an astronomer from Upper East Side, or fantasy junkie from Bushwick, we had actually a whole Marx collection, but in, I think it was in Greek, right?
Yeah.
So really, like, you name it, we got it.
That's fascinating.
The Bible or Ayn Rand's, what was it, Atlas Shrugged or something. Yeah, so it was really fascinating to see how, what the city kind of can contain, how all the characters which were revealed through this, like, small gesture of throwing out books, but there's so much more behind it, which we were trying to portray with this project.
But that's the city. That's a portrait of the city, the people, right?
Yeah, I think
what makes the people, does New York City interesting and unique, you know? It's not about the big buildings here, but the people.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
Yeah, I think definitely, like, you know, like foraging in the city and foraging in the nature, these are kind of like the two activities which sparks the beginnings of the discussion, and then we see where it will lead us. So another project which we just finished for the Kunsthalle Praha was also inspired by going on a subway in New York, and we saw all these like tree tattoos which people had, and we started to think it's very interesting how they kind of bring the nature with them in the city, kind of like in mobile gardens, and how it would look like if we put them all together, like in the city, right, living together. And so we end up doing an open call where people did send us pictures of their trees, and we put them together and created an animation of a forest. So where suddenly, you know, you could connect the people, the social structure with the ecosystem of the forest. And for us, they are both very similar. They kind of like they both connect together to create something much greater.
How did it feel bringing that exhibition, Call of the Forest, is that correct, back to Prague, back to its full circle, back to your homeland?
Oh yeah, this is a great question. Because I have to say the Kunsthalle is kind of like in the middle of the places where we grew up, because I grew up in Malá Strana and Marek at Prague 7 at Letná, and this is right in the middle, and so it was very emotional. Just, you know, like dropping off Adam by my mother to work at Kunsthalle. So it was really coming home, and the whole team was incredible. They gave us such a great support, and also the responses of the show was very positive. I think for me it was very rewarding when I found out that some people went to see the show like 3 times, which was, yeah, very moving for me.
Do you guys observe a difference in the way your art is received with Czech audiences versus with audiences here in America?
I think it was interesting for the Czech audience to see the American new world with the Czech eyes. That's maybe kind of like a translation.
Audience, I think, like, definitely, like, in Prague, people would be curious to see what comes from America, what Czech expats do, and what is the perspective. That's, I think, you know, that's part of it. So there was quite an interest and like lots of question about our experience here. I think here people are more interested in the themes we do. It's not so much that they wouldn't be necessarily like so much interested in that we are coming from Czechia or the old world, because in New York everyone is coming from somewhere, so it's not necessarily the theme, like their national origin wouldn't be, you know, like the theme. It's more really like the people would open for your work if they're interested in the themes, so it's then like team specific.
But
Americans in general also like very very curious and can give you a lot of questions, and sometimes they seem like very very simple childlike questions, but they go on to the like essence of things. That's one thing I enjoy here, that people really want to find out what is your motivation, why are doing what you're doing, and
are not afraid to approach you and ask questions and be analytical and critical, so which is great, because then you could kind of really move the topics.
Do you guys observe a difference between the Czech artistic community and sort of the artistic community in America, or more specifically New York? Are there some points that you can give us?
Primarily is the size. So like the group dynamic in Prague is very strong, you know, making like a high pressure on you to fit in. And I would say here you can really find your tribe, and you don't have to care so much into like fitting into like a large general group, because you can't.
What's next for you guys? Do you have any projects or themes that you're really curious about exploring?
One of the projects we are working on right now is kind of continuation of the projects we did at the Kunsthalle Praha, and that was the New York taxi cab. And as I mentioned, there are like trees growing out of it, and we would love this project to be to continue living. And so we are currently exploring possibilities of placing it permanently somewhere in the Czech Republic. Currently, we are looking at the Krkonoše region. And the idea would be that the car would be somewhere in the forest, and the trees could really grow into large scale and kind of see the power of nature. Because we feel like in the last years, people are very afraid of the fragility of nature, but we are strong believers that nature can revitalize itself and kind of find their roots even in a new world, a new environment. And then we are working on some private commissions, site-specific installation in upstate New York. Being an artist is very complicated and very complex, and you really have to have the passion, because, it's be both very like looking for something else to do, and it's just so much in us that that was what was clear we have to do. But if you don't, if you are not like 100 or 200% sure you have to do it, then just don't do it. And then of course consistency, kind of like developing, you know, like firm grounds and see what really inspires you and then follow that. And then of course you have to be, you know, create, but then also be great at documenting your work and writing about it and putting it out to the public. So it's, to be an artist is very complex. And I feel like 80% of my time is spent on organizing things. And if I have to, if 20% is really like doing things, it's a treat. So I think that's what many people don't realize, how much of a business it really is and how much things you have to do in order to do the art itself. Mm. So I just thought people would be aware that it's not just, you know, being in the studio and painting something which you like. It's, yeah. But definitely New York is great, and if you have the guts to come, come here. Yeah.
And to leave our audience with one last note, what are like the feelings and thoughts that you really hope to provoke with your artwork or your exhibitions?
Yeah, I think that the materiality of the objects is always very important, and that kind of, you know, kind of go against this virtualization of the world. We are trying to really bring people back to be grounded and connected. And from that feeling, we also, you know, today many of the environmental projects are a little bit like alarming and showing the fragility of nature. And we are more trying to make the connection to nature stronger, because if people are aware and kind of like sensitive to the environment, then we feel like it will also guide the decision in the right directions. Yeah, so it really, we really want to make like a positive statement with our work, because we feel like the world is shaking already, and we just need a steady place where we could walk to the future.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for joining me here in Brooklyn, New York, Marek and Christina Milde.
Thank you, Magdalena.
Thank you for listening to Radio Prague International. I'm Magdalena Kadula, and thanks for being with us through the holiday season.